loving this thing.
What thing?
My scribe.
Oh
We
yeah.
talked about. I love this thing so much.
You're such a traitor. Traitor to
I'm so
the
sorry.
cause.
Sort
I'm
of.
so sorry, but not.
Hello and happy new year, and welcome to Erasable 221. Yay!
Yay.
I'm Johnny on hosting duties, and I'm joined by my favorite baby New Year's, Andy and Tim, at
You
their
ever see my
respective
diaper?
HQs.
I just
No,
got dressed right
that's
before
the
we
good
started
thing about
recording.
Zoom. I mean, I'm not wearing a diaper, but I'm also not wearing pants. Just kidding.
Well, there you go.
I'm not wearing a
Who
diaper
needs
because
it?
I'm
We
wearing
don't.
nothing.
My kids are awake. So it's been a while. It's been like a month and a day since we recorded, I think. So we've got lots of stuff to talk about, and we're going to start with the first excerpt from our Ziboldoni this year. So why don't we just jump right into Tools of the Trade? You want to go first, Tim?
Yeah, sounds good. So I have been, I'm kind of blend some things together, but I like as far as like what we do with fresh points or whatever, but I guess not. But like, anyways, this notebook, which is my Ziboldoni, my commonplace notebook, which is from Write Notepads, has been with me all the time. And I have been like loving carrying that with me. And like, I'm still blown away by how long I've had this. I'm like, look how crisp that is. If you're a Patreon supporter, you'll see like the visual. Like, this notebook is just holding together so well. Like, I
Did you get
can't
that
believe
when
it.
we were all in Baltimore?
Did we get it there or did you send it to us afterwards? I can't remember.
I think we.
Yeah, we got him there because I kept
Yeah.
looking.
I think he just handed it to us.
I got Moses drunk enough that he let us go in his office and take him home.
These
I
are
wasn't
so
drunk.
good. Of course you weren't. So I've been carrying that with me all the time. I've been carrying some regulars around, but one that I started, so I'm on like a minimalism kick, which if I wasn't blurring my background for you two, like you
We
wouldn't be
could
able to
really see the
tell.
minimalism.
Because this is the room in the house where like all the crap gets dumped. But I was going through my pencil stash and just like making those hard decisions about like, I'm gonna use this. I'm not gonna use this. I'm gonna use it. This brings me joy. No, we're not actually using that method. But one that like I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, people hate these. I'm gonna try one. The Tombow 2558 in B.
No,
I
why
know
do
people
people
are
hate
just like,
them?
yeah. Well, I feel like I remember talking about these and people being like, the B is like awful or something. Or was it the two? I don't remember what it was. But like, I remember this one getting some hate at some point. Maybe I'm just like misremembering. But I haven't used it in years, like forever. So that was one that I was just like, I'm gonna sharpen one up. And of course, it's an awesome pencil. The other one I've been using, which I found on the floor of my garage as I was cleaning it out,
Sure,
which
sure.
I feel like I've had stories about this before where like I'll find pencils in like the bizarrest place. And I was like in our garage, which is just like full of all this, remnants of our childhood that our parents dumped on us. And I'm just like trying to find something. And then I found, as one does, a Kitabashi B
Ooh, nice.
for, for, it says, for retouching and special drawing.
Special drawing.
Or stupid writing, I should add on to there, which is what I do. But I found this and sharpened it, and damn, it's a great pencil. So I've been using those. The other pencil I've been like, and I know I'm kind of going out of order, but I've been really loving, I think I left it upstairs, but I've really been loving my, I feel really bad for like forgetting at the moment, but like the pencil extender that's made where you like take apart the pencil extender and you add a Blackwing Ferrule to the end. Who is it that makes those?
Ellie Sarah?
Ali
Yeah.
Sarah. Yeah. So he gave us one of those and I was like, this is amazing. And I made like 20 of them. Like my kids carry them around, they use them all the time. And I found one and I was like, oh gosh, I haven't used one of these in a while. And so I've been carrying one of those around with a Mono 100F in it. And that's been like my pocket pencil for like a week. And I just adore that thing. It's like a silver sleeve, and then I have a silver Blackwing Feral attached to it with a pink eraser.
Oh, nice.
And that's just been, yeah,
Yeah.
delightful. So I've been very pencil heavy the last couple of weeks with those three. Those are like primarily what I'm using. And then
You
I've
should make
got
a
like one.
podcast with all those pencils.
That's a great idea. I gotta
Yeah.
go.
Okay. See you guys.
I
You've
got
got
a
to plan.
plan some dorky people to be on it with you.
You're
Yeah, I
right.
feel like this is ringing a bell. Like I found some dorks to do this with me. So yeah, so I've been using those, and then notebook wise, I showed you the right notepads, and then I've been carrying just field notes, just kind of like a I have several going at once right now, which is mostly because ADHD, and I just like lose one and I like find one and then I'm like, I'm gonna take away this one today.
Yep, look at this is just the other day. I put all of my field notes together in one that I had like randomly going.
I have like a Jason Isbell one, which he announced the new album today, by the way. Coming out in March, solo, just him and a guitar, which is really exciting. But I have like one of those and then one of the Great Lakes ones, and then I don't know, something else. But and then yeah. So reading, I've been reading, and did I talk about Johnny? I think you definitely would remember this. Did I talk about the book ADHD is Awesome?
I think you talked about it to me, but not on the podcast.
Okay.
Because I couldn't
So,
remember which one it was. Now
yeah.
I do.
So it was recommended by a colleague. I've got like a colleague that I talk to, and like we have like sort of figured out like different routes, just like that we have like an ADHD connection with like her family and my family or whatever. And so this is a book that was written by the Holderness family, which is like they do like
Oh.
viral like TikTok videos and all this stuff and YouTube or whatever. But they wrote this book, but they did it in conjunction with the guy who wrote ADHD 2.0 and Driven to Distraction. Hallowell, is that his name? Yeah. So they like he like sanctioned it or whatever. Like they like referred to him and they refer to like all this research, but the book is so entertaining and they wrote it in a way that's like made for people with ADHD. So like the every chapter, like the end of the page is colored differently. So like you know kind of like what you know where everything is and you know how far you are from the next chapter. And if you want to jump around, you know kind of like where you were. And it has been such a great read where it's like brings me to tears at some point, just like the sort of feeling recognized or like, oh, I'm not a psycho. Like the way that my brain, the way my brain works is like, I'm not alone in this, you know? And that's like really meaningful for me and really like helpful. So, and also not just for me, but like my son has ADHD as well. And so, like, reading that helps me understand myself better and like my own kind of like shortcomings, but also understanding like how my son like approaches life, you know, as a 11-year-old who I'm so far from that point of view. So that book
Especially
is
when
just.
they, because they kids have to fit into like a pretty rigid academic system, and
Yeah.
that makes it is not designed for him.
Absolutely. And that was actually
Yeah.
like the last part I read was something like that, where it was like there's some like researcher they reference who was like, if they wanted to invent like sort of a hellscape for somebody with
Yeah.
ADHD, they would show you the education system that we've developed in this country.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And imagine being a teacher and being forced to do that as an adult. Like
Yeah.
make that thing happen. Like that was what was so, I mean, I left work every day after teaching, just feeling like I could just sit in my car for 45 minutes and like, you know,
Yeah.
stare out the window and just be like, I
Dissociate,
need to
yeah.
recover, you know. But that book has been great. It is definitely like a ADHD. It's very accessible. I'll just say that. It's like it's not super deep into the research, but you can tell that it's all rooted in like real like research. And the audiobook I have as well, which is great because he and his wife read it together and they like go off script a lot, which I've not seen in an audiobook very much. So they like go like way off script and just kind of talk to each other about like, oh yeah, when you do this, Like, here's what I try to like tell myself. And then I read the, and then I go back and read the actual like physical book and realize that's not in it because they're just kind of like riffing on it, which I found out later is just basically because he has ADHD and like reading an audiobook for 9 hours is just not going to happen, you
Yeah.
know? Anyways, it's very empowering and very makes me feel very good. Really, really enjoying that.
I just ordered it.
Oh,
Thank
great.
you.
Nice. And yeah, and then I have there's one other book of poetry that I found, and I don't remember how I found it, but it is called, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you in just a second, but it is a an anthology of poetry that like this guy had pulled together, basically just like almost like his Zibaldone, like his like favorite poems, but it's very extensive and he like organized it by theme. Because I was just looking for good poetry, but also looking for accessible poetry and poetry that was just like not trying to, you know, an anthology that wasn't trying to convince me to like think about it a certain way. But it's called Staying Alive by Neil Astley. Staying Alive, Real Poems for Unreal Times, which
I don't know what you're talking about. This these times are the realest.
yeah. Well, the crazy thing is that this came out in like 2003. So this is like it's been
Jeez.
out for
Just
21 years, but it's such a good collection to just flip through. So that's on my nightstand. I've been reading that and really enjoying it. So I would highly recommend it. It's like 500 pages. It's a ton of poems. But I love this collection. I bought it on Kindle and was reading it, loved it so much. I bought a used copy from Thrift Books. So, and watching, I went and saw A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan movie.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was incredible.
Oh.
I went into it with like some serious butterflies. Like, I was
Yeah.
just like, he means so much to me. His music means so much to me that I was just like, I don't know what I would do if this sucked. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know what I would do. I would just, I would be devastated.
How
And
did Timothée
I,
Chalamet do?
he was amazing. I
Yeah.
mean, like, he was amazing. He did such a good job. The movie was like, and I know after reading, I've read, I mean, I've got a whole sh I have like a whole shelf of Dylan books over there. I've read 10 of them. I don't know. So like there are points in the movie where I was like, that's not what happened. That's
Well,
not how that happened.
actually.
So those two things, like I had all those moments, but it didn't take away from like the enjoyment of the movie at all. Where I was, because maybe it's just because I had like the sort of fiction writer brain to be able to be like, I see why they did that. And that makes for a good movie. Edward Norton was great. Elle Fanning was great. There's
Oh,
like
Ed Norton played Pete
40.
Seeger.
Yeah.
I
And he
just
was one of the last
realized.
people I added to it. And he
Wow.
does such a good job. I saw it by myself. My wife was like, I don't know when we're going to be able to go see this. You should just go. And she said to me one day, I was like, are you serious? It's like, yeah. Or she was like,
Go,
yeah.
go,
And
go.
so that night I bought a ticket. I went at like 8 o'clock. I went to the movie by myself, had some popcorn, had a Coke, and watched and just like teared up multiple times during it. And at the
So.
end, like the movie got done, and I just like froze and sat there until like the lights came on and like the theater was empty. And I was like, oh, there's no one else here right now. I
So
was
an actor I
blown
really
away.
love who's really underrated played Woody Guthrie, Scoot McNairy.
He
He
was great.
was in Halt and Catch Fire, which is one of my just very favorite TV
Oh,
shows.
he's awesome. I love him.
Yeah. And yeah, apparently he was Woody Guthrie. I can see it. That's awesome.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
only has a handful of scenes, and I learned today from a Dylan podcast I listened to called Definitely Dylan that they only had that setting, like the hospital scene, because that's where he meets Woody Guthrie. He's already in the hospital at that point. They only had it for 4 days. So all of the scenes that take place there with him happened just over the course of 4 days. So, Timothée Chalamet had to play like Dylan from like 4 different years
Oh,
in
wow.
4 days, which is also impressive. But he was He was so good. So
Yeah.
I was giddy. Like I got in the car, like, and I just like walked. I did an extra loop around the theater as I was walking to my car because I was just like, oh, that was so fun. It was like there were parts where I was laughing, and so I can't wait to see it again. I cannot wait. So the only other thing I've been watching is Port Protection, which is very different, but I highly recommend this as well. It's on Disney Plus, National Geographic. It's a reality, one of those like National Geographic reality shows, but it's about this little Alaskan coastal village that's like super remote, like 100 miles from anywhere. And I don't even know how I found it, but I just started watching it. I got super addicted. Like I just it's there's like 10 main characters who live in this little town, and they have to get all their own firewood. They have to hunt for their food. You know, they can't like afford to like buy stuff. Like it's so good for protection. I know I've been talking for a long time, so I'm trying to speed things up. But yeah, and then for music, I'll just mention Jason Isbell announced today that he has a new solo album, like on acoustic guitar, just an acoustic guitar that's coming out in March. There's one song out called "Bury Me." It's killer. So, and I need to shut up, but I've been enjoying lots of stuff. I'll save it for next time. But one tradition my wife and I started for Christmas is a couple years ago was getting each other like coffee table size books, like big picture books, like art and whatever. Like, and so I've got some of those that I've been starting to like work through that have just been really amazing.
I love those kind of books, but man, you just, it's so hard to read. Like, it's just, you can't just lay in
It's
bed with a giant
oh
book on
no,
your
it's got to be
chest.
like a set time aside on the couch and pull out the book that has 400 pictures of 1958 Gibson Les Pauls. That's just a random example. I'm not saying that's the one.
Just making
Yeah,
that
I'm not saying that's the one that one of the ones she got me, but I love it so much.
We need to bring back the lectern so that we have
Yeah.
something
Oh,
else to
yeah.
do. Yeah.
Or one of those kind that are like on a big wheel that you can crank.
We need to get like yes. We need to get like a bed lectern that like hangs a book above your head that's like
If
oversized.
that thing fails, like it's gonna just crush you in your
It's
sleep,
gonna be
though.
awful.
What a way to
Yeah,
go.
you'd be like illuminated manuscripts or books about, 1958
Les
Les
Pauls.
Pauls.
Yeah,
Just
exactly.
like they could put those above your head and read about them.
That's
Yeah.
cool.
So that's me. So
All right.
45 minutes later, but Andy, how about you?
Mine is not so robust. After I got back for holiday travels this year, I started a new job. So I am working at a little startup in Palo Alto, which is maybe 30 miles south of San Francisco. And so they have a hybrid policy. So I go into the office 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I'm taking the Caltrain down, which is like our kind of regional commuter rail, and it takes about 45 minutes an hour, depending on if I get like a limited or a local. And for Christmas, kind of in anticipation of that, Erica got me a New Yorker subscription, so I
Nice. Oh,
have
nice.
something to kind of like read that isn't just staring at my screen and doom scrolling and starting the day that way. So I've been jumping in my New Yorker, and I used to have a New Yorker subscription. And the thing that I just always have to remember is just like, it's okay to not read it cover to cover, because you will never do that. So you will never catch up. So that
You'll have
is.
a bunch of sad tote bags full of New Yorker magazines in the corner of your
Yes.
house. Yeah.
Yes.
And well, if you miss it, you can read it later online if you have a
Exactly. Yeah.
subscription.
I have the app. Yeah, there's a little free library not too far from me, and I'm thinking about just stuffing all of my back issues in there for people.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
But yeah, it's nice. So I've been reading a lot of New Yorker. I read a really great cover, just bio of Adam Scott, and kind of about the next this new newest season of Severance
Oh, cool.
that's coming up. I read one that that was not so great about Alice Monroe and kind of like everything in her family that like. Her ex-husband who groomed her daughter, like just a
Really?
lot of that stuff. Oh, did you not hear about this? It
No,
was, yeah,
I've missed this.
it came out kind of after her death, but Alice Monroe's, not her daughter's father, but her second husband, was just like for years was just like sexually assaulting her daughter. And it was
Holy
something
crap.
where it was kind of an open secret in the family. And the question was, did Alice Munro know about it? And there were, because there were some scenes in some of her short stories that were remarkably similar to situations that had come to light later. But she also, like, when she was claiming not to know much about that, it's a lot. So,
Oh,
yeah. So sometimes maybe you don't, maybe,
that's,
like, maybe I don't want to read The New Yorker and,
I'll read that
like,
right after the
oh, the Neil Gaiman
nuclear
stuff.
apocalypse
Oh,
stuff.
God. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Yeah. I
awful.
wouldn't also
Neil
doom.
Gaiman stuff. What?
Oh,
Did he
God.
have something to
Don't.
come out too?
Wait, no.
Just never
No. Oh,
mind.
no. We'll
Never
talk about
mind.
this later.
Okay. Oh,
Oh,
not Googling it
yeah.
right now.
It's real rough. So, anyhow, I've been reading that on the train.
What?
It's a good
I'm gonna go on
train.
mute for a second while I
Okay, just
react to
kind of
these
scream inside your heart.
headlines.
Yeah, just scream inside your heart. The I also have been reading a pretty good book called The Lost Story, which is a little bit more escapist. It's about these two guys who got lost in the woods in West Virginia 15 years ago in their childhood, and for 6 months, and they emerged, and they kind of went their separate ways, and they reconnected, and it turns into kind of a like a pretty big like fantasy story. So they've like found a different realm just in the woods. So that's a pretty good book. I recommend that. It's a little bit escapist, and that's maybe what we need right now. TV wise, I haven't been watching a whole lot of TV, but on the plane I watched a bunch. I watched a bunch of The Skeleton Crew, that new
Ooh, it's good.
it's very good. It is a I don't know. I am finding that I am just misaligned to a lot of the things that like really hardcore Star Wars fans thinks about the TV shows. Like I really liked The Acolyte. I liked, you know, some of those. It seems like everybody loves Andor, which for good reason, because I also thought Andor was amazing. But yeah, Skeleton Crew, it's really great. It's kind of, you know, starring children. They approach something that I think is really interesting, which is what does sort of like an idyllic suburban community for children look like in the Star Wars universe, which is kind of interesting. And it does have, somebody mentioned it has very strong Goonies vibes, and that is 100% true. It is for children, starring children, but
That's a
it's also
benefit.
kind of, it's also pretty dark, but like in some fun ways. So there's pirates. That's just like
Sure.
Star Wars meets Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, yeah. So Skeleton Crew, think it's great. Really love that. One of the things I think I do really like about Star Wars being like just Disney making like a nauseatingly like large amount of content about Star Wars is they really like figure out ways to translate that like aesthetic to other things. And this show really translates so like Andor translated the Star Wars aesthetic to like offices and cubicles and like bureaucracy, right? And Skeleton Crew really translates the Star Wars aesthetic to like pirates and like abandoned sailing ships and robots that like are kind of like a pirate crew member. So there's this robot called SM33 Smee, and he has like a burnt out eye socket, so it kind of looks like he has an eye patch on, and it's very silly, and you can't apply your same sort of like Star Trek like pedantry to it. You can't be like, well, this is an episode 5, season 3. Like, you can't find those inaccuracies, because it's fun. So I'm enjoying that. And I am writing, I've been loving, I talked about a little bit about it last time, but I am really loving my Blackwings Labs triangular Blackwing. I've been using that a lot. And
Nice.
I am writing in my vintage field notes, which I'll talk a little bit about during Fresh Points. So
Nice.
yeah. Johnny, how about you?
So, I'm just watching a lot of British TV and trying to hide from the world.
It's the best we can do.
Like always, but All Creatures Great and Small started back up
What season are we on now?
Monday.
Is that five?
Five.
Wow.
So
I'm
if
pretty
you have the
behind.
PBS app or the
Yeah.
PBS Passport,
Passport.
the whole thing's up.
Yeah.
I think I still only watched one so far. But yeah, I mean, the show's really good, really escapist, cozy, lots of
Yeah.
tea. Like, the set that it's on looks like the coziest house you ever saw. That's probably drafty. And I feel like in a world of like songs, I've just been listening to a lot of albums all the way through the way they're meant to be heard. A lot of stuff from my teen years that's like 30 years old, like sound different Soundgarden albums. I found this really cool, I guess it's a newer album with Chris Cornell doing Soundgarden songs and Audioslave songs just acoustically in him. They were like really, really good, especially the Audioslave stuff. Yeah, I've just been hiding there, and I like to listen to stuff while I work, and I don't want to listen to too much NPR right now, because, you know, it's always like, hey, this clown's going to do this, this clown's going to do this. Like, oh, no, they're not, because they're clowns. But wouldn't it be horrible if they did? So I found a podcast on Spotify called Conspiracy Theories that...
That sounds relaxing.
It sounds, like, really stupid. Like, I would never be attracted to this, but they did an episode about, or two episodes about Edgar Allan Poe's death. I think I just done a search on that one day, and it's not really like conspiracy-ish. It's more like they examined something that could be a conspiracy and then, you know, present a couple conspiracy theories about it and then write the theories. So they're not like...
Some say it could be ancient aliens.
Yeah, they're not like, hey, the Sphinx is definitely like magic. They're like, hey, the Sphinx is mysterious, and like, this dude thinks it's magic. This dude thinks it's made from like alien poop. Like, and they rate it. Usually it's like two or three. It's not true.
Yeah.
But they do a really good episode on whether or not we live in a simulacrum that's especially good. Because you can hear the host in it being like, oh man, oh. But yeah, it's on Spotify. They used to do two episodes a week, and they do one. And so like, if you're like me, if you're listening to it, there's a lot left. And so we didn't talk about this, but I got some cool stationery items for Christmas.
Ooh.
I got some crossword black wings from New Yorker magazine that I'd never heard of.
Oh.
They're really cool looking.
Do you have them in front of you?
No, I don't know where I put them.
Oh. I'll have to look those up. I think I heard about them, but.
Yeah, I got like a 3-pack. I think they came from Etsy.
Yeah.
But I also got what I really wanted was Narwhal does 365 series, where they make 365 of a pen that's like a different version of something they already make, like with a different material or something like that. They did one for Halloween in 2023, I think, but it was really ugly. So this time around they did a solid titanium version of the Nautilus, which is usually ebonite. So it's like this big, heavy, shiny metal thing that looks like you could kill somebody with it. And like it closes so nice. It's so beautiful. Admittedly, it's still in the box because I can't select the right ink because it's metal, so anything matches.
Get some iron gall in there.
I was looking, I'll get a wintry blue, and I open my ink drawer. I'm like, crap. It's like,
which wintry contenders. Blue? No, this is my vibrant blue drawer. Where's my wintry drawer?
And, you know, usually I would skip over the shimmering stuff, but it has a stub nib, so it's just like, give me something crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm stoked to get into that. And so my boring life lately just involves making books all day, but I do get to use pencils like constantly. So I've been using a Musgrave Harvest that was a vintage one where the imprint is completely rubbed off, but the eraser still works. It's like the smoothest, most beautiful number two pencil that I maybe ever used ever. Like, it's perfect. And I got 3 dozen, I think. I meant to send you guys some, and now I don't know where I put them because I organized my closet last month. But when I find them, hopefully. And I've been enjoying those. A very short Venus and a CWPE Futura in bright pink, because I keep throwing my pencils away in the recycling and then I have to go get them. This shows up and it's got this like spear point. It's good for marking the edges of signatures and stuff. But yeah, so I'm going to jump on to Fresh Points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. You want to go first, Tim?
Sure. My main one I was going to mention is just that upcoming, we're going to be bringing back some older episodes. We've done so many, 221 episodes. So just want to mention that like we've got a new, I guess you'd call it a series, but just we're calling it Re-Raceable. which are some of our favorite older episodes that if you're newer to the podcast or it's been, 8 years since you've heard some stuff that have been really good, really interesting conversations with some really creative people. We're going to be releasing those soon. So going to be starting that. Yeah, probably after this one, just to bring back some other ones, just and do it occasionally, not like a regular thing, but just occasionally, just to bring back something, some older conversations, some older content that we, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's been what, 11 years now?
Yeah,
Oh my
almost.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, a long time. So some really, we have some really great stuff that people might not have like had a chance to hear or listen to or maybe have forgotten about. So just to, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that. So that was the only thing that I wanted to really wanted to share because I'm excited about that because I'm, as we like Felices, I'm also excited to experience these conversations again and silently judge myself and how it's going.
It's like, oh
Not
God.
That was a great question, Tim. Yeah, good job.
Good job.
Yeah, yeah,
Are you
you did.
drunk?
Yeah, probably.
Not
We did
you.
have a segment where we talked about what our drink was.
We did used to have that.
Tim's usually had haggis in it, though.
Yeah, well.
I think you might have been making them up. I
Just
hope so.
milk with a chunk of haggis floating in it. Yeah.
A scotch egg.
Hard to stomach.
Yeah. But that's, yeah,
Yes.
that's really all I got. So, Andy,
Yes.
what about you?
Couple things. I have a couple field notes to talk about before I do that. Speaking of things in the world just falling apart, like I have decided to divest myself of Meta properties. So I am closing down my Facebook and I already kind of did my Instagram, which is, yeah, and it's going to be an interesting challenge because I've been on Facebook for literally 20 years and I
Oh man.
co-admin a group that has 4,000 people in it. And my sister's like the only sort of like place where we have like a sibling chat with all of my siblings is on Messenger. So I have a few things to do. In the Facebook group, I offer just sort of like some thoughts about like divesting from Facebook. And we do have lots of, lots of good admins and moderators, yourselves included, who are potentially sticking around longer. And so the group should still, be in good hands. However, as I was getting off, I was like, I still want there to be some kind of community out there. And I realized that we have an old Discord that we never really used. I think we were experimenting with
Oh.
using Discord to stream our recording so people could listen around, which, by the way, maybe we
Oh,
should
yeah.
figure out how to do that again. But yeah, that was fun. But I did sort of like resurrect that a little bit. I put an invite link in that Facebook post to this Discord and several more people have signed up. I think there's almost 100 people who are at least like in there now. Who knows if they'll, give it up. Discord's hard. It's I think for a lot of people who use Discord a lot, like it makes sense, but to my brain and the way that I use social media stuff, it is difficult. And I am trying to learn how to kind of moderate this correctly. There's so many things that are different and things to do. So I'm kind of taking that as a learning challenge. And my friend Seth, he runs the San Francisco Stationery Meetup. He's a heavy Discord user and he's been kind of giving some pointers. Also a cool guy who runs the pen, what is it called? Penposium? No, Pendemonium Discord, which is great. He's been chatting with me about some of the things too. So his name is Yasarian. So thank you, Seth and Yasarian, for that. Meanwhile, if you are interested in joining the Erasable Podcast Discord, there's going to be a link in the show notes. So it is, I don't know, you guys briefly use Discord, right? Like I think you hopped on and I don't know if you stuck around, but or if you use it in any other ways, but it's kind of like Slack, but harder. Yeah.
I think I, got on when we had used it for that.
Yeah.
Have the account, haven't used it too much, but now I'm pretty curious because I'm heading in the same direction, of course,
Yeah.
as you are. Some of the news about, I mean, politics aside, just like a place as ubiquitous and as Facebook, just
Yeah.
cutting all fact checking. This is
Yeah.
like, that is the recipe for the last place that I want to spend my time. And my brain does not need that, you know.
Yeah. It's like we have a template, like when that happened at Twitter, like it became a worse place. And that's, yeah, like I never thought I would leave X or leave Twitter, but once it became X and turned to that, like I was like, oh God, I can't do this. So yeah, so it's rough. I have so many friends who work there, and a lot of those friends I are, you know, queer or trans, and that's like working there is difficult, right? Like it's kind of hard to, the way that this industry is right now, it's hard to just like quit and protest. So it is, yeah, something where I've been needing to do it for a while, and I just haven't. Like I think the Erasable Group is kind of what's been keeping me there. So
For me,
yeah.
it's been like the Erasable Group, and then, and this is going to sound really stupid, but like Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, no, it's a
I do,
useful, it's a useful thing.
yeah. Well, just like, you know, my like passion and like my spare time really is like guitar and like building guitars, and like it's been such a great way to like find parts and find like interesting things to use with like music.
Yeah.
And so like that's the majority of like if I get on Facebook, the majority of the time I'm getting on Marketplace and looking at the stuff that like it's such a weird brain space to be where you're like thinking about like feeding an algorithm for a place that's just bad for people, you
Yeah.
know? And bad
Yeah,
for, or
so
I shouldn't say bad for people, but like bad for me. Like it's just
yeah.
like,
No, yeah, you're right. It's and just like being, I just don't want my time and attention to be monetized by billionaires anymore. So like I know that there's other things, like I'm on LinkedIn, which is owned by Microsoft, which is, you know, feeds a few billionaires and things like that, but I'm trying to prioritize. I'm on Blue Sky and Mastodon, both of which are like open source or sort of, and Blue Sky is probably eventually going to get monetized and kind of be crappy, but in the meantime, it's not. I actually just yesterday signed up for an interesting kind of Instagram alternative called Pixel Fed, PIXELFED. It's pretty rough, but it's fun. It's interesting. It's definitely not as polished as Instagram is, but it seems like a good place. Seems like it's kind of picking up some steam. And then, you know, just between those things and LinkedIn and trying to get with Discord, which, you know, Discord is a company that is monetized too, but I'm paying for it. Like I signed up for a monthly subscription, and I'm like, I feel a little bit better about like a little bit controlling the money that kind of comes out of me into them a little bit more. So gonna try that for a while. Who knows? Maybe it's a grand experiment, maybe it'll be terrible. But if anybody is interested in trying out an alternative, we're not shutting down the Erasable Group. That is by far the best place on Facebook, which isn't saying much, but it's still, that part of it is really good. So continue to engage there. We'll have lots of people there.
Yeah,
Really good community. But I'm gonna, yeah.
it's hard just
Yeah.
to be like, I mean, with it's hard not to feel like anything new that comes out like is going to inevitably like funnel towards the same fate, you know?
Yeah.
Because we live in a super capitalist, you know, money-making world. So
Yeah.
like eventually it's gonna end up there because in all and the crazy thing, it's like all it takes is one person to make a decision, you know,
Yep.
one person to like decide, yeah, this would benefit me. And then
Yeah.
the I hate being in that position where then like somebody making that decision will then like have a domino effect that just makes a lot of people,
Yeah.
you know, just
Yeah.
increases the noise that we're all like wading through all the
Yeah.
time. I
Well, I
don't
hope
know.
nobody's on TikTok right now, because
No, I'm well off there. Yeah.
yeah. So fun. That
There's a
is,
lot of
yeah.
discussion among like makers about what to do with
Yeah.
Meta because Instagram is where people look. So
Yeah. Yep.
there's already like so much of like selling your stuff you have to do or selling yourself that you have to do that
Yeah.
like I don't do. But apparently
You know
people
how.
have created some guides that can delete all the info that Meta has about you. Like, but then they're going to get more.
Yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
and there
Also, are they really deleting it?
there's and it's probably some subsection of the data about you. Like Meta has so much more data about us than we realize. And I think that, like, you know, there's some stuff like interests and activities, But like, you can kind of control that stuff a little bit, but there is so much more stuff kind of under the surface that's there. So people talk about like, oh yeah, and I was talking about like Band-Aids the other day, and then I started getting Instagram ads for Band-Aids, and were they listening to me? And I was like they don't need to listen to your audio. Like there's so many other signals that they have that can like bring that up. But also maybe, who knows?
Scary.
So yeah. So anyhow, come find me over in one of those other places, and I will post a link to the Discord if you want to try that out in the show notes. Yeah. Also wanted to mention a couple field notes things that have happened since we recorded a month ago that I've had. Like we talked a little bit about it, but we didn't, I don't think, Johnny, we didn't have it in hand yet, did we? The vintage field notes?
Don't know.
Yeah.
It's been a weird couple weeks.
That's true. Yeah. So I have a couple little show and tell items. And by the way, if you are a Patreon subscriber, you can see a video of this. So if you're listening to audio, we're going to post video. We're on Zoom right now. Hey, wave hi to the Patreon people. We're
Hey.
going to post video of this on over there, so you can watch the same episode. You can watch Johnny guzzling a Coke Zero. Anyhow, this is the Field Notes Vintage. It's hard to see with my camera, especially like the lighting that's in here, but the cover is very textured. It's really nice. It's kind of like a kind of a laid linen-y kind of a texture. Feels really good. The Field Notes logo is like popped out on the cover, and then the inside has like it's just kind of like substrated with that like kind of vintage like chevron or whatever we're calling this pattern. So yeah, it looks very like old world Christmassy. I almost wish that it came out like for the fall so we could have it in hand and like use it during the Christmas season, because it just feels very like Victorian Christmassy. I don't know, Johnny, I feel like you're often more in tune with sort of like seasonal stationery releases than I am, but
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But the inside that was supposed to call up to mind an old book, I feel like it looks like the pattern on some really ugly boxer shorts.
Oh yeah, this. Yeah. I wonder. I'd be interested in knowing in what like book they were
Could see
pulling from,
like a
because it
dad
is
walking around there.
holding some coffee. Yeah, like the paper a lot. I really like the. Let's see what paper it is. This is the. Oh, the Domtar Cougar, a 60-pound natural. Yeah, I love the sort of like creamy color, and the like it's kind of an interesting m mix of like it's ruled but with dots, so it's like dot ruled. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that, so I've been kind of using that for some of my writing, and of
Did
course
you
has a
try
really nice vintage gold staples on it. What'd you say, Johnny?
a fountain pen in it yet?
No, I have not. Is
I
it good?
tried it, and I swear that the Domtar White is like if you put a pen near it, the entire pen sucks it, or the page just sucks the ink out of your pen. But this one worked really well.
Okay,
I'm surprised.
I'll give that a shot. Yeah, I mean it was fine for pencil. It's very smooth. It's pencil. I think I generally like a little bit toothier of a paper for that, but it's fine for pencil. The other one that is really interesting is, I don't know about you guys, but so last year in 2023, the sort of like 12 days of Merchmas that Draplin was doing was like on fire. It was so good. I bought so many things. This year, I don't know. It was a little lackluster. I didn't really care for it a whole lot, except for the last one, which was his weird turquoise field notes.
What? I
So
missed those.
did you miss these? I thought I posted
Yeah.
pictures of them, but it's a turquoise tribute, and the cover is like these, like a very nice kind of turquoisey kind of like mixture. It looks like a countertop in like, some like really rich, gaudy person's bathroom. Donald Trump's bathroom has this as a countertop.
Is it marbling?
It's marbling. It's not actually marble. This is digitally printed, but it looks like marbling. It is cover, yeah. Brute force printing, yeah. Process CMYK, glimmering gold metallic. So what's nice about it? It doesn't. It's not actually glimmering gold. It's not metallic gold, but it has like these really nice gold kind of accents in there. The thing I really like about it is just, because whenever Draplin does like a factory floor, they just like some really wacky paper. So he has like turquoise paper inside, which is fire.
Oh, that's
That's
awesome.
funny. So I think this would be good with a light colored ink or look how, I don't know if anybody can see like, well, if you're watching
It's
this,
changed.
you can, my camera is correcting for the
Yeah.
bright
The
blue and
color of
making,
your face.
yeah, the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Really
You're
red. So
blushing.
I don't know. I think a gel pen, like a white gel pen would look like amazing in here. Like a, like some sort of a white gold kind of
Yeah.
like, yeah, something would look great to, so I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I love those weirdos. Like the one he did like 10 years ago, the Eek, the,
Oh yeah, the
yeah,
black
just
and
with,
orange.
yeah, with just like the slam of like those colors. And I love those when he does those kind of things. So this is fun. Yeah. So yeah, that is, that's it for me and my fresh points. Johnny, how about you?
Sure. I haven't been doing anything interesting, just reading and I mean, when I'm not watching TV, reading books about books and books about making books and then making books. So I spent
Have
a
you been
day.
making books about making books?
No, I haven't gotten that far yet. Nobody wants to
Darn.
hear what I have to say about it.
Yeah.
But I got the idea to incorporate like some old stamps into book covers, but like just one. So I've been experimenting with that, and I spent 2 days last week going through all of my old stamps and found some like treasures and also some that are probably really offensive and I should get rid of. Like, I can't believe that person's on a stamp.
When you say stamps, are you talking postal stamps or like rubber stamps?
Postage stamps.
Okay.
So like I have a lot of French ones and a lot of French Olympic stamps. Because I buy a lot of vintage French notebooks from a lady in, oh, I forgot where she lives in France. And she always covers the envelope in stamps.
You want to
Like,
avoid those German stamps from like the 30s? Like, want to stay away from those.
there are a couple like Cold War era German stamps, like some for the Österreich, like weird
Ooh,
stuff. It's funny.
if I
But
send you some Star Trek stamps, can you do something with
yeah.
that? Okay.
Yeah, I was trying thinking of what to make for you guys, and I found the perfect stamp for Tim, and I haven't found the perfect stamp for you. So that would actually work out.
Okay. That's awesome.
I just made one with Thomas Jefferson and I offered it to Frankie and she's like, why would I want that? I'm like, I use this one because I thought it was a good size and I don't care if I mess it up because I don't care about
Given
Thomas
her
Jefferson very
sister's
hard.
writings about
Yeah.
Monticello.
I'm like, yeah, that one can be okay. That's a model. Yeah. But I'm just sort of basking in the post-holiday, post-retail, like, I'm just going to make books for a while and not worry so much about selling books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been, by the way, Johnny, I've been getting so many compliments on that. Hold on, let me grab it so people can see it. I've been taking this to work with me, my like Baron Fig Confidant, and I've been getting a lot of compliments on that
Oh, awesome.
cover that you made. They're just like, "Oh, that's so cool! Like, is it? It's not a leather cover." And yeah, so I've been showing them the like this material that they think is really neat. So
It's magic.
yeah,
Magic.
yeah. So thank you for that. People love
Oh,
it.
you're welcome. So, we'd mentioned doing, an from our own Zibaldonis and the singular Zibaldone. Am I pronouncing that right? So that's basically a fancy Italian way of saying commonplace book. But if I understand correctly, it was when a commonplace book was in the vernacular, not, you know, Latin stuff that your kids might not be able to read. So who wants to go first and read a cool excerpt from their Zibaldoni or Zibaldone?
You can go. That's Tim, do you wanna go first? Okay.
I mean, I'm happy to. I actually, I got a poem that's in
Okay.
mind. That
Yeah.
might be a good place to start. So I was flipping through a collection, and I was going to ask you all before we do this, kind of like what you're thinking as you're like sort of like harvesting things to put in your commonplace book or put in your Zibaldone. Like, what's your mind space for that?
I don't
Because
know.
it could be totally different for all three of us. I'm just saying, like, it's like just
One of the things
curious.
I've been doing is try if like if I'm reading something, trying to think about like, hey, would I otherwise tweet about this? Or like would I post something like on Blue Sky or something? Maybe I should just put it in here. And so I had a like a there was one thing in here that was like a article that I which I'll read when we get into it, but like it was just kind of a quote from an article about the upcoming administration, and I just kind of like wrote a thing in here and put that quote in here about it. And then there was just like something else. So I've been trying to like use it for that, but I also like think I might be interested in putting like some lists, not like, you know, grocery lists or whatever, but like, you know, just lists of intentions or what I'm grateful for, things like that too. So haven't got to that point yet, but yeah. I'm trying to use this to replace with like compulsively sharing things on social media.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I take care of my books, but I write in them a lot. So with mine, if I find myself like putting a star next to something, I'm like, okay, I care more about that than just marking it in case I want to look it up again. Like I might actually want to think about this for a while.
Yeah.
So then that's what I pull out.
I guess my way of thinking is similar to both yours, where it's like if I write in my books a lot too. And so if it's something that kind of stops me in my tracks, and especially if it's something that like stops me in my tracks and then I want to look back. That doesn't happen that often where I like read something, I'm like, hang on, that was too good. And I go back and I read it. And that's the kind of thing where I'm like, that's something that if I want to read it three or four times in a row right now, then I'm gonna be very happy with myself in 15 years if I look at this and be like, oh yeah, that was a good, you know, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
The poem that I was gonna read is from, and this is like pretty outside of my like normal world of poetry because it's a very like haughty name I'm about to say, but I came across it kind of by chance, but it's a William Butler Yeats poem, and it's called "To a Friend Whose Work Has Come to Nothing"
Oh, I
that I
like
wrote
this
in
one.
Europe.
It's about me working at Facebook.
All right, and here it is. Now all the truth is out. Be secret and take defeat from any brazen throat. For how can you compete, being honor bred, with one who, were it proved he lies, were neither shamed in his own nor in his neighbor's eyes? Bred to a harder thing than triumph, turn away, and like a laughing, I can't read my handwriting, to a laughing string. Whereon mad fingers play amid a place of stone, be secret and exult, because of all things known, that is most difficult. And like it just like felt like such a perfect thing to put in here, where it's like it's basically talking about like what we're doing here, right? Like it's like the
Yeah.
thing that you like really strikes you as like powerful to be like, just put it down, and like amid a place of stone, be secret. Don't you have to tell everybody? Right, you don't tell everybody about it and exult because of all things known, that's the most difficult thing to do is to do something that like brings you like life and not feel like you need to share it with everybody and feel like you need to get credit for that thing being created.
What's the line about the you can't compete with the man who lies, like
Yeah. Now it's the beginning. They're at the beginning. Now all the truth is out. Be
yeah.
secret and take defeat from any brazen throat. For how can you compete, being honor bred, with one who, were it prone, he lies, were neither shamed in his own nor in his neighbor's eyes.
Think that talks a
Yeah.
lot about like people in power and like that's interesting.
Yeah, there's a very, there's very like first stone kind of like tone behind it, but
Yeah.
I probably came across it like oddly enough, like on Instagram or something, when I read that. But yeah,
Nice.
that was one of mine that just like caught me off guard. And it's also with poetry that's a little bit older. It's like when it strikes you, and you're also like, I don't totally know what that means. But something inside of me makes me want to like start again and be like, there's something I can feel there's something there. And you just kind of read through it over and over and over to the point where you're writing it down. So.
One of the things I found when I took like when I was in college and would read Shakespeare, Chaucer, like Elizabeth Barrett Browning or Robert Browning or something, like old poets, is that like sometimes I feel like the thick language makes me think harder about what the meaning is and what I should read into it, when like really it's just there, right? Like if I took a casual glance over it and just read it quickly, like a lot of most of the intention is there, and I would be like, okay, they're using this very fancy language, so this must be a very fancy, complicated thing underneath. It's like, no, Shakespeare just wanted to make a fart joke. Like that's what.
Yeah, and part of that is just that they were writing it 200 years ago or whatever,
Exactly.
you know, and you're like, yeah.
So forgive me while I'm, mansplaining poetry to a former English teacher and someone with a PhD in
No,
philosophy.
it's we all experience it. Yeah, so yeah.
Is that you, Tim? Do you have anything else you want
No,
to read?
go
Cool.
ahead.
I have a couple of them. I'll just show you. I was thinking also, if anybody was interested, we could take some maybe some pictures of our pages and put them in Instagram or excuse me, Patreon or something like that. But this is my like the fancy notebook that I was talking about, but I wrote a little like intro that I won't read, but this is my one of my pages that had like I'll read through this through both of these actually, but I just kind of wanted to show them off. So first one, I've been using my fountain pen in here just because it's a fancy notebook and I feel fancy. So
Fancy boy.
I was reading this interesting newsletter called The Reframe, and a guy named A.R. Moxon was writing basically like what happens after elections is people will, and this is about to get a little political. Sorry, everybody who doesn't agree with us, but we made the decision a while ago. But after elections, people kind of like there's this sort of like armchair kind of like, oh, this is what I would have done differently. And a lot of like experts who come up and do it. And a little bit like the title of this was called Being More Like Republicans. And it's sort of like, there's always this discourse about like, oh yeah, like, well, if we fight dirty like the Republicans, we would have won this election, or if we would have like fought back or whatever. And I think he's kind of like clarifying what people like experts or what he kind of like thinks about and feels about like is missing there. And it really struck me. I'm going to see if I can read my own handwriting, but it's bullies hate fights. This is just a big long quote that I took from there, just so I could kind of bring it in. Bullies hate fights and run from them, which is why I think we ought to give them fights. Wherever people need a fight, they will follow whatever fighter presents themselves. So if you'd like them to follow fighters of goodwill, I think people of goodwill ought to become fighters. I was like, oh yeah. Ultimately, we have to recognize that the people who won't go where we need them to go aren't our leaders, and we need to work to replace them as much as we can, wherever we can. This sort of focus on intention worked for Republicans to achieve the horrible, destructive, hateful things they are on the verge of realizing. It might just help us achieve good and necessary things too. So I think it's talking a little bit about like how so many of the mainstream Democratic leadership is just, just very much in the center, very much sort of like clutches pearls when something extreme happens and just don't do anything about it. It's very principled. About kind of the last days that President Biden is spending in office not doing much, when he could, be trying to like push a lot of things through. So that was just something that struck me. I just wanted to write it down because it had a little bit of like a rhythm to it, and I wanted to think about that more. I also like this wasn't really me pulling a quote from something, but I decided to ink up my Tim, the one that you gave me, the Pereira fountain pen. You
Oh,
remember when we had
nice.
that, like, so I put some Fuyugaki ink in it, but I didn't wash the nib out, so I still had a little bit of like a darker color in there. And so like the color that it kind of laid down is really interesting. It's kind of a brownish, kind of a reddish, kind of a grayish. And I just basically put a date on it, and I said, I inked up my Prera medium fountain pen, gifted to me by Tim in an indelible podcast challenge with one of my favorite inks, the Fuyugaki Persimmon by Irosuzuku. It is a bright orangey red, and I love it. Turns out there were remnants of a dark green ink still in the nib. I'm actually digging this color it lays on the page, a gray brown with just a hint of orange peeking out. Is this a Bob Ross style happy little mistake? Will the orange finally make its way out? Only time will tell. I can't wait to see. Meanwhile, I'll keep on writing. So, nothing much there, just like a little thing I was thinking about and thought it'd be cool. So, that's what I have for this segment. How about you, Johnny?
Nice.
Okay, mine's depressing,
Oh, great.
but
Bring it on.
yeah, actually pulled this out on purpose because a lot of people close to me have had a lot of deaths in their families recently. Not me, knock on wood. So when I took a William James seminar in a graduate school, my professor on the first day of class read the letter that William James wrote to his father, Henry James Sr., when he found out that he was going to die. So, like, here's the book, which I don't know if it's showing up. So if I don't know, we've talked about William James on here before. William James was brother of Henry James, and the joke was that he wrote like a novelist and Henry wrote like a philosopher. But like, he's a really clear writer. Like, he wrote a book called Pragmatism, and his theory of truth was so clear nobody got it. So he had to write a sequel called The Meaning of Truth to re-explain it. He apparently wrote a lot of really, really good letters, and he was a very introspective young man and an older man, and prone to stomach troubles and depression. So, like, except for the stomach troubles, I feel kinship to him. So this isn't the whole letter because it's longer, but he starts at "Darling old father," and then this isn't the beginning of the letter, but this is the middle and the end. He said, "We've been so long accustomed to the hypothesis of your being taken away from us, especially during the past 10 months, that the thought that this may be your last illness conveys no very sudden shock. You are old enough, you've given your message to the world in so many ways, and will not be forgotten. You were here left alone, and on the other side, let us hope and pray, dear, dear old mother is waiting for you to join her. If you go, it will not be an inharmonious thing." And that's when my professor started crying. "Only if you were still in possession of your normal consciousness, I should like to see you once again before we part. I scribble this line, which may reach you, though I should come too late, just to tell you how full of the tenderest memories and feelings about you my heart has been for the past few days been has for the past few days been filled. Ooh. In that mysterious gulf of the past into which the present soon will fall and go back and back, yours is still for me the central figure. All my intellectual life I derive from you, and though we have often seemed at odds in the expression thereof, I'm sure there's a harmony somewhere and that our strivings will combine. What my debt to you is goes beyond all my power of estimating, so early, so penetrating, and so constant has been the influence. As for us, we shall live on each in his way, feeling somewhat unprotected, old as we are, for the absence of the parental blossoms as a bosoms as a refuge, but holding fast together in that common sacred memory. We will stand by each other and by Alice, try to transmit the torch in our offspring as you did in us, and when the time comes for being gathered in, I pray we may, if not all, some at least, be as ripe as you. As for myself, I know what trouble I've given you at various times through my peculiarities, and as my own boys grow up, I shall learn more and more of the kind of trial you had to overcome in superintending the development of a creature different from yourself for whom you felt responsible." I think it's like the perfect description of parenthood. "I say this merely to show how my sympathy with you is likely to grow much livelier rather than to fade, and not for the sake of regrets. As for the other side and mother and our possibly meeting, I can't say anything. More than ever at this moment do I feel that if it were true, all would be solved and justified. And it comes strangely over me in bidding you goodbye how a life is but a day and expresses mainly but a single note. It is much like the act of bidding an ordinary good night. Good night, my sacred old father. If I don't see you again, farewell, a blessed farewell. Your William." But I don't know. I can't tell other people's biographical information that didn't give me permission, but some folks I know have had influential people in their lives who've passed away recently are feeling a little adrift, as I imagine I will be as well, as my parents get older constantly.
Yeah.
That's the fun part about middle age. Like, oh, my kids are getting older, and so are my parents.
Yeah.
And that brief period where I'm not taking care of anybody that much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I should have picked something that wasn't so depressing.
No, but it's beautiful.
It's good.
It's like, I mean, it is very real. I mean,
yeah.
You're such a cool person. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, the other thing I was going to share is, like, not cheery, you know? And so, but it's also like those are the things that really catch me and that I want to write down because they're the things that make you feel right, or that make you feel understood or make you feel like you understand someone else better. So,
and at some point you are faced with that later, like you'll have a place you can go back to and find that.
Yeah, yeah. He was in London or Paris, I think London, and his father was across the ocean, and like you know, they couldn't talk. So the idea that like, my dad's going to die. I can't get there and I can't talk to him either. So this is the best I can do. It's kind of horrifying.
Yeah.
But when my father's father, when he was in the hospital and he wasn't going to die that day and my dad thought he was, he like got dressed up and shaved because he thought he was going to say goodbye to his dad. Like, oh, I don't want to know that day is here. Yeah. I mean, it turns out he didn't and it was later, but
yeah.
Goodbyes are scary.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Well, speaking of goodbyes,
heard the whole thing. So that's it for the Erasable Podcast.
Yeah. Goodbye.
I think
I have only the tenderest of memories of
all. I picked this over a section from a book I'm reading that talks about bookbinding as a bad career choice, even in like medieval period. Like, you're not going to make a lot of money doing that. Like, okay, I know.
Like, speak for yourself.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Like, as long as I cover supplies, I'm good. Sometimes I figure out what my hourly wage is, and if I have a sale, it's really bad. What else am I going to do? So, if you're still here and not grabbing the tissues, and you are a Patreon supporter at the Nubbin stage, then you are a producer, and we thank you. And one of the ways that we like to thank you is to read the list of names at the end of the episode. So many, many thanks to all of our Patreon supporters, especially Mikhail Tuzikoff, John Schroeder, Ellen, Mac Tucker, Dana Morris, Liz Rotundo, Melissa Miller, Angie, Aaron Bollinger, Ida Umfers, David Johnson, Phil Munson, Tom Keekley, Andre Torres, Paul Moorhead, William Maudlin, John Capelluti, Stephen Fransali, Aaron Willard, Millie Blackwell, Michael Dialosa, Tana Feliz, Ann Seip, Chris Metzkus, Mary Collis, Kathleen Rogers, Hans Nudelman, and John Wood. And you'll see either an old version of us or the current version of us soon.
Do you like our podcast? Most people like our podcast. But if you don't like our podcast, David will turn it off.